God, grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change,
the courage to change the things I can,
and the wisdom to know
the difference.
You know, one of the biggest points I want to bring up, you know, whenever we're conducting consensus-based decision-making is, you know, when I get ready to start, the first thing I like to do is pray and invite a higher power to control the room rather than me, because I know sometimes self-will will get me into trouble. But the first thing I want to start off with is how a proposal comes about and where can it come from? And we've actually, it's funny because we just had some discussions at our regional level of who can bring a proposal to the floor. And, you know, looking through our guide, you know, one of the things that we realized that you know, any addict has the ability to bring a proposal, you know, but, you know, it's just like when I bring a motion to the floor in an area level of service, you know, the biggest thing is, do I have support? Am I doing it like, is it like self-will ran riot where I'm bringing it? Not it's my idea. Or, you know, the biggest thing with these proposals is, you know, it all starts off with that discussion. A lot of our proposals actually come from area support, you know, where an area will come with a problem. And, you know, as a body, we try to, you know, figure out some sort of solution. But, you know, when I first got into regional service, you know, I come from an area like a lot of you guys where, you know, it's all based on Robert's rules. You know, you get two pros, two cons. And sometimes you got those strong personalities that just, you know, they've been around a while. So they got the people that follow them. And they're like, I know when I was new and they started that first vote in a home group, I didn't even know what the hell I was voting on. I just remember looking around the room. I'm like, well, this guy has 20 years clean. He must know what the hell he's talking about. So when he raised his hand, I would raise my hand. And, you know, what I've really learned about consensus space is, you know, every voice on the floor is able to be heard. You know, we want to hear from the people that disagree more than the people that agree with the proposal, because, you know, that's how we get to. Group opinion. And, you know, in our region, consensus base is 80-20. And, you know, I feel that, you know, when we get that 80% of participation on a proposal, you know, you're really getting a true group conscience on what can happen when we move forward. And it's funny, like, I remember the first time that somebody actually read the traditions. And, you know, at the end, it talks about, you know, we really don't practice those until we get involved with service. And, you know, I found that to be true, because the other thing it taught me to do was learn some concepts and learn that, you know, one of the concepts it talks about is every viewpoint being heard, you know, because sometimes I'm dead set on an idea in my head. I'm like, no, this is the way it's got to be. And the facilitator in the room will go to that one person that disagrees with that proposal and be like, hey, what's stopping you? And sometimes they bring up that point that I wasn't thinking of. And it's like, you know, I have to be honest and open-minded and willing to try something different. And when they bring up those ideas, you know, I have to have an open mind and be like, hey, maybe my way isn't always the right way, you know. But I want to kind of go down like the different list of picks. Whenever we do a consensus-based decision-making, you know, when we sit around our table at region, we all have our placards with our different areas. And on the back of it, you know, they put on the back, you know, assent with reservation, stand aside, and block. And what they did was on that card, they gave us a definition of each of those, you know, because, you know, when I come from Robert's Rules, I have two choices. I either have yes or understand that, you know, I remember first coming to Region and they're like, hey, let's do a straw poll. Hey, let's.
You're cutting out on us, Ray. We can't hear you.
Looks like he's dropped off.
Different things inside of there, and you know, it really taught me. It's like, okay, right? When I was new, I had to like take that piece of paper and like write those little acronyms down and be like, okay, what are they really talking?
Alan, do you want to take over?
You guys taught me to. Am I breaking up or no?
Yes, you are.
Yeah.
Am I?
In and out.
In and out. My Wi-Fi must suck here. Okay. Can you guys hear me now?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
You might try doing it without the camera on.
It's frozen again.
Can you guys hear me or no?
You should call in with your phone.
Alan, can you take over for a minute? Why my Wi-Fi is going in and out?
Yeah, well, my name is Alan, and I'm co-facilitator. Like, I know I'm coming from the area level. In our area, I'm in Bay Area, and I'm St. Petersburg, Florida. We have Robert's Rules going on. So when I came to Regions, I didn't understand what was consensus basis decision making. And I was like going crazy because I came in as co-secretary, alternate secretary. So I had to learn all of this stuff quickly. And it took a while to learn it, you know, when you're getting all this going on and you have a cent with reservations, block and all that. And I'm like, what are y'all talking about? You know, I've been in the rooms for a while and I had no clue what y'all were talking about. And me being the secretary, the backbone of Regions that had to do everything. And I'm like, I thought I was like a cartoon. I was like, what are you talking about? Until I started learning all this stuff and I was an alternate secretary. And I'm like, I needed to learn this stuff. So I myself did the plackets that they have all the descriptions that's going on in the back of it. Because I'm like, I needed to learn this one as I'm doing service for the Rooms of the Codex Anonymous and alternate secretary. So I put all those definitions of these. So if y'all ask me a question, I can pull that flacket out myself and see what was going on. Because it's not just with the RCMs, it's the definition is with everybody that's in the room that's able to sit at the table. So that's how I started learning with that. And it went on from there. Ray, you there?
Yeah, so, I'm here. Can you guys hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know what was happening with my Wi-Fi. I think I'm back on now. Can you guys hear me now?
Yes.
Or am I going in and out?
You're good, good? For now.
All right, thanks. So basically I don't know what part you guys heard and what part you didn't, but you know, I was going over the ascent with reservation, stand aside, and a block. You know, ascent basically for consensus-based decision making is whatever proposal is on the floor, you agree with it. The next one is ascent with reservation. That means you want to let the proposal pass, but you still have a couple questions. You know, in Robert's rules, you know, the only thing we'd hear is two pros and two cons, and we'd make a decision. You know, in consensus-based decision-making, you know, we want to hear from those people. It's very important that we ask those questions, you know. So when the proposal hits the floor and we have a couple of cents, you know, the first thing we got to do is, hey, what about this? I know you want to let it pass, but what's in that proposal that's bothering you? You know, and we kind of have to go from there. And what it allows us to do is get a feel for every person on the floor. So everybody has a voice. And, you know, it's kind of like when you're sitting in a room and you're trying to come up with ideas and you start to brainstorm. Sometimes a person will throw an idea out there that you normally wouldn't have thought of. But when you get all those when you get all those addicts together, rather than just give me two good things and two bad things and all right, screw it, let's make our decision. Some people are say the process takes longer, but at the end of the day, you know, most people are walking out of that room a happier person, you know, because I remember going into area service and being like, man, that didn't go right, or, you know, or I didn't get my way. Whereas in consensus basin, it's not my way or your way. And it's, you know, sometimes the first idea isn't always end up the best idea. It's like, you know, we kind of pull our thinking together and kind of work together as a team. But, you know, in doing this process, one thing that I had to learn was I had to be, whenever people share inside the room, when I'm sitting there, is I had to open my ears and I had to listen. Cause sometimes it's hard. It's like, once I'm done talking, I'm like, okay, I know I'm right. So I don't need to listen to what everybody else is saying. And it's very important to like, be mindful. It's like, hey, maybe there is a better way, you know, but if I'm not open-minded to hear what anybody else has to say, because I know I've sat in a room and proposals have come up on the floor and I'm like, man, come on, let's let this pass. And then somebody brings up something negative. I'm like, I never really thought of that before, you know, but for me, it's consensus-based, you know, it's hard when you've always done something a certain way. It's like before I got clean, I had used for 20 years and now I got to try something new. It took a lot of practice. It took a lot of understanding it. And thankfully there was addicts that were there before I got there that kind of took my hand and they walked me through the process. And I'll be honest, I facilitate the Florida region. There's been times where a proposal will hit the floor, you know, and you kind of get caught up in everything. And I have to look to my predecessors and be like, okay, what do we do now? You know, because sometimes a proposal will come up and it won't get enough support. You know, a few people may think it's a good idea. And then, you know, I have to take a temperature of the room and determine, is there enough to support to keep going further? Or am I beating this dead horse? Because we've had it happen at region, and that's the days where the business meeting, you're like ready to pull your hair out. You're like, man, I'm ready for this day to be over. But, you know, it's really kind of keeping it moving. Also, my audio is too low. Is that what you said, Ezra?
Yeah. Try speaking up a bit.
Let me see if I can turn it up a little bit.
Oh, speak louder.
Speak louder. Let me see if I can turn the audio up. Is that better?
It's not audio out, it's audio in. Your okay. Voice has to be louder.
All right. Sorry about that, Ezra. All right. Okay. So what we're going to do is one thing I like to do whenever we do these presentations is I like to come up with a little proposal so we can kind of get a kind of like a little mock proposal. Me and Ernest did this when we were over in Jacksonville, and it's funny because, you know, people get so wrapped up into it, and you know, it kind of gives us a better understanding of what we deal with, you know, because it's hard to convince somebody that's always done it a certain way. I remember being with Biff and Christy Beth. We were at an area, and this gentleman was like, I don't like it. And they're like, what do you not like about it? He's like, well, I just don't like it. And it's like, am I just not on board because I'm not being open-minded, or is it because something's really going on? So what we're going to do is, well, as Ernest, would you like to come up with a proposal for us to do a little mock presentation? I know you got something back there in the back of your mind, don't you?
I was participating. however, let's just do a proposal about how long we should actually keep this going on here.
Okay.
We're supposed to end at 4:15.
Okay.
For those who are accustomed to Robert's rules, it takes a little bit more to adjust to consensus-based decision-making. So do we need more time to actually stay on so that we can show you some documentation and or the voting? Like in the chat, someone asked to see the placard. Do we show you more information so that we can give you a clear understanding of what consensus-based is? So the proposal is, do we stay on longer or do we end this at 4:15?
And just for an example, Scott, you just put that message up in there that you asked, what's the question that you want to have about what's the plaque is going on? So you right now are a set with reservations right now because you want additional information to say, yay or nay, I want to go like that. So that's a set with reservations right there.
Julie, I see your hand up. Go ahead. You want to ask your question?
I just want to know, you never finished what stand aside and block.
So that way everybody can hear you. Okay. Stand aside means I'm willing to let the proposal pass, but I have strong feelings against it. Now a block, here's the thing with a block. You have to come up with a tradition, a concept, or a step, and you have to be able to articulate why it violates a step, a tradition, or a concept. You know, so I can't say, hey, this violates tradition three, unless I can articulate how it violates tradition three or whatever it may be. You know, because sometimes I'm like, you know, just because I don't want it to go through, I'm like, man, I'm blocking it and it's this tradition. They're like, okay, now you tell us why it doesn't. Okay, but we're going to go ahead and the first thing I'm going to do, if I'm facilitating a meeting, Ernest put the proposal on the floor. Are we going to continue all the way till 4:15? Are we going to stop early? Is that the proposal that's on the floor, Ernest? So the first question I have to ask as a facilitator is, does everybody understand the tradition as the way it was stated, or understand the proposal as the way it was written? Because whenever we come to the floor, all these proposals are going to be in writing. And everybody in the room should have that piece of paper with that proposal. So that way they got it in black and white and they can see what's going on. So the first step as a facilitator is I'm going to read that proposal. And I got to ask you guys, do you understand how this proposal is written? Currently, the proposal is written. Are we going to stop at 4:15 on time? Or are we going to stop early because everybody understands what we're doing here? And the first step I'm going to do is, does anybody have any questions? Go ahead, Scott.
Yes, I have a question. Could you provide an example of the placard? So that's more information. Yes,
absolutely. So the placard is, each area has a placard with their area's name on it. Because in consensus base, the only people that have a vote on the floor are the RCMs. Just like at area service, there's only, who has a vote on the floor? Who can tell me?
Depends on what area you're in.
The GSRs, ain't it?
The GSRs.
Well, some areas, the subcommittee chairs vote also.
Really?
Unless it's something that went back to the groups.
Gotcha.
That is true. My area in Bermuda, everybody vote.
Okay. So it's based on your area. But at our regional level, at the
you're cutting out again, right?
Border region, the voice is on out again. Can you guys hear me now?
Yeah.
You sound really quiet. I think you're having a microphone issue as well. Do you want to try calling in with the number I gave you?
Yeah, let me try that real quick.
Okay. You'll need to call that number, then provide the meeting ID.
Okay. Let me just try to log in on my phone. Hold on 1 second, all right? Let's see. see if I can get in here. Hold on. 1 second, guys.
Hey, can you guys hear me now?
Yeah, that's better.
That's much better?
Yes.
Okay, now the only... Ezra, you're going to have to help me because... I forget who asked that question. Scott, you asked a question, correct? What was the question you asked again?
I ask about having more information or showing us the example of the placards.
Oh, okay. So the plaque, it's just all it is a piece of paper that has our, because when we sit at the table for our regional business meeting, you know, in person, everybody has a placard with, like, I'm from Treasure Coast. We have, you know, Space Coast, Sun Coast, all these different areas. That way, the only purpose of the placard is so when we go to vote, when I call for that vote, let's say I say, hey, we're going to call for consensus, they'll raise their placard for assent. Then I'll ask, a lot of times, the first thing I'll do is there any blocks? You know, and I'll get those out of the way. And all they do is just raise their placard. And that's just so we can determine for the voting process what areas are voting. And from the sound of it, everybody's area and region is different. At our region, the RCMs have all the voting power. You know, in my area, the GSRs are the only ones that vote. The only people that vote if there's an event of a tie, then the admin break that tie. And same thing at region. You know, if there's a tie at the regional,
Ray, you're cutting out again.
Proposal. And then the next step, which is, Ezra, I can't see, but is there any questions?
You're breaking up.
There's no questions, but you can't, you're cutting out. Do you want to try dialing in?
Yeah, hold on 1 second.
You're having a Wi-Fi issue. Scott, I can see Ernest is sharing an example of the placards.
Yes.
So.
Perfect. And I think I know where I can find that.
They are also located, if you have the guide to.
Can you guys hear me?
They are located there as well.
Ray?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, that's clear.
Okay. Sorry about that, guys. I can't really see what you got on the screen right now. Okay. Oh, you have the ascent. Okay, gotcha. Okay, so now once we ask, if just to clarify, if there's any questions about how the proposal is written, the next step is I got to test for consensus. So basically what I'm trying to do is get the temperature of the room and get a feel for how you guys feel about the proposal.
Troy had a hand up.
Who does?
Troy.
Okay, go ahead, Troy.
Yeah, my question is, when I've seen it at the area level, is the facilitator, when you have a assent with reservations, you may have 4 GSRs with the same reservation and everybody gets a voice. And the facilitator lets everybody talk and drags it out for an hour when they shouldn't be. If you don't have something new to add, then you shouldn't be talking.
Well,
so that's the point that I'm trying to get to. How do you control that?
Well, that's all, Troy, that's all based on your facilitator. And it's really the facilitator's job to not let people keep repeating themselves. It's something just like Ernest facilitates our fellowship development, you know, he asked the question, you know, if I start to hear people say the same thing over and over, my job as the facilitator is to facilitate the meeting and say, hey, we're getting a lot of repeat. Can you please say piggyback? So that way we're not beating the dead horse, because, you know, addicts, a lot of us like to hear ourselves talk. So we think we're going to say it better, or it's, even though it's similar, you know, so that's when we really, as a, we really got to take control of the room and say, hey, listen, if there's nothing new, can we move on? You know, cause otherwise we end up beating that dead horse. And then we're sitting in a room for hours, and it's the point where people are like, let's just vote, cause I want to go home, and it doesn't even matter what we're voting on anymore. So it's really, you know, it's really based on the facilitator to take control. And when that happens, stop and say, hey, or is there anything new to add? You know, and that was a great question, Troy, cause that does happen. But
okay. Thank you.
Yeah, you appreciate it. But the next thing we go, I'm going to do is this room right now. So, we don't test for
consensus. You're still cutting in and out, right?
Doing the meeting at 4:15.
Am I hitting that?
Ray, we're losing you again.
Hey, Alan, are you there? Can you take over, please?
Hello. Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good.
My name's Ernest. I'm an addict.
Hey, Ernest.
So in the Florida region, Troy, to touch a little bit more on what you just stated, when I'm facilitating consensus-based, I try to stick to questions because typically when facilitation is being offered and consensus-based, oftentimes we lend our opinions, and our opinion sometimes is not necessarily based on experience, it's based on feelings. So what we attempt to do in fellowship development is when there's concerns about a proposal that hits the floor, we try to stick to questions and members who have experience with those questions in particular. What we do as a result of that is we can bring down a level of repetition that takes place when another member tries to rephrase what someone else is saying. It does take good facilitation in order to actually navigate consensus-based, because with Robert's rules is two pros, two cons, up and down vote. With Robert's rules, we're more concerned with those that are opposed to what the proposal actually is. We want to hear the minority voices. And typically in Robert's rules, the minority voices get squashed by the 50% plus one. And what we find is in Robert's rules, we could have, if there's 100 members voting and 51 members are for and 49 are against, we have 49 resentments. So typically what we attempt to do in consensus-based, where the Florida region is 20, what we attempt to do is alter that proposal however it needs to be to try to get what we classify true consensus. Because in consensus-based, we don't use unanimity. That's not a term that's used in consensus-based. That's a term that's used in Robert's rules. Consensus-based is called true consensus. We can get 80% of the members on board with whatever is being proposed. Ultimately, what happens is we usually walk away with true consensus in most cases. Now, we do still have those members that express their stand aside or express their block. But typically when you block, you have to articulate it and have it backed up with something in our literature. It's not in alignment with our traditions, is not in alignment with our concepts, is not in alignment with some step or something in the guide or something in the guide to the local service. Somewhere down the line, you have to be able to back it up with why you are attempting to block it. And then the block gets discussed among the body to see if there's support for that. Ray, do we have you back pretty stable?
And another thing about that whole thing about going on, because this goes to a two-part basis. Normally when we have a proposal, it is brought in fellowship development on Saturday, and consensus basis decision-making is brought there with fellowship development. So barely do we have a block, because it's discussed in on Saturday, all the concerns about what's going on. And if there are concerns, the person who normally does that proposal will ask them, can they explain it themselves? So not only is the facilitators guiding this decision, it's also the maker is explaining why this is going on and what was concerns about their area to bring it to the forefront. So it goes to a two-part basis of this becoming like that. So, and basically whoever blocked it basically wasn't there Saturday to get all those kinks out.
At any time, this can get sent back to the groups at any time, though, right?
Absolutely.
Can you guys hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, great. Hey, you made a great point, Ernest, and I want to thank you for taking over and helping me out with that. Sorry about my Wi-Fi connection. It sucked. I see it at the house. But, you know, the valid point that you brought up was, you know, asking questions. You know, good facilitators, you know, our job is to ask questions, but also not let answers get repeated. And that's, you know, that's one of the things that's very important, because sometimes, like, we can kind of, you know, you kind of get a feel for which way the proposal is going. And that's immediately when you kind of get a feeling like, okay, everybody's like nodding their head, yes, yes, yes. You know, the next thing I want to do is take a straw poll, and I'm going to do a test for consensus to kind of get the feel of the room. If I take a test for consensus and everybody raises their hand that they're in agreement with it, the next job as a facilitator is I need to call for consensus. You know, and call for consensus is when we're going to get the assent with reservation, the stand aside, and the block. But if everybody's putting their hand up that they agree with what they're hearing, how many blocks do you think you're going to get? You know, and that's why it's very important when we're doing this consensus-based decision-making to kind of iron it out before we go ahead and call for consensus. You know, test for consensus, I'm getting the temperature of the room. Call for consensus is when we're getting the actual vote. That's when everybody's going to raise their placards and they're going to give me a block. They're going to give me a stand aside. They're going to give me a assent with reservation. They're going to give me a assent. You know, that's why it's very important to kind of iron out all these details before I get to that call for consensus, you know, but that test for consensus is a straw poll. Now, when we're at our guide meeting or we're at fellowship development, everybody in that room has a voice, you know. So, and that's why sometimes it's better when you can kind of get everybody involved. But once it hits our business floor on Sunday, the only people that have a voice on the floor in our region is the RCMs, you know. And if somebody wants to ask a question, you go through your RCM because they are the voice of your area. But so I'm going to ask the question. We're going to do a test for consensus. Out of everybody in the room, who believes that we need to continue on till 4:15? And you can either put your hand up. Okay, so we got 1, 2, 3. Can you help me count, Ernest?
Yeah, 3 so far.
Okay.
3.
So we got 3, 4. I see some people got their hands up on their screen. 5.
Sorry. 6. Until 4:15 or after?
Huh?
I'm sorry. Six. What was the question? Until 4:15.
Andrew, the question is, do we need to continue till 4:15 so you get a better understanding of how consensus-based decision-making works?
Just so you guys are aware, 80% would be 16.
And right now we're at how many, Ernest? Because I can't see because we're screen sharing.
5.
5?
I have
so
8.
At this
point, I count 8.
I have 8.
8?
8.
9 if Andrew's raising his hand.
So nine
with Ernest.
10. Okay. So 10 out of 18 is what? It's not 80%. So now my job as a facilitator is to go to these people who didn't have their hand up. Nellie, you did not have your hand up, correct? Now my job as a facilitator is what's preventing you from us from going till 4:15? And those people that are in disagreement with it, we need to hear from them.
Okay.
Does everybody understand where we're going with this?
Yeah.
Okay. Because you guys agree with the proposal. So my job as a facilitator is not to get two good things and two bad things. It's to find out those people that are not on board, why aren't you on board? So I'm going to go to somebody like Belinda. Did you have your hand up?
Because I think that we could just squash this in a few minutes and be done. Why we gotta wait to 4:15 to close this down? I just know. I think that you guys could have just explained this, showed us a PowerPoint, and we'd be done.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Belinda. Now I'm gonna go to somebody else that didn't have their hand up. Kevin, did you have your hand up? Not sure if Kevin's with us or not. Bob H., did you have your hand up? Maybe that's why they don't have their hand up.
They're not here.
They're not here. Who's here that didn't have their hand up? If you guys can chime in. I know Belinda.
I didn't have my hand up. I didn't.
Okay, go ahead, Patrick.
I think we should go to the wee hours of the night talking this over. My area does do consensus-based decision-making, and that's what we do. We just talk mm-hmm. the hell of everything until we can't talk anymore, and we either are in agreement or not, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It can be about the smallest thing. We just talk about it forever.
And Patrick, that's where the facilitator's role comes into play. Because if it keeps getting talked about, yeah. you know, yeah. at some point we have to say, hey, we need to make a decision.
Definitely.
And if we can't come to terms on making a decision, guess what? That tells me this proposal doesn't have enough support. Totally. So it needs to go back, whether it's to an area, to a home group, to area support, to fellowship development, because we're not ready to make that decision yet. And that does happen. You know, and that's where the facilitation comes into play, where the facilitator has to make that decision, say, hey, we're getting nowhere. Nobody wants to make a decision. We can't get to the 80%. So that's when my job as a facilitator is to send that back and say, you guys need to figure this out. And then you at any time, guess what? They have the ability to bring that proposal back to the floor. But if we're getting nowhere and we just keep beating that dead horse, you know, these people aren't changing their mind and these people ain't changing their mind. Sometimes guess what we have to do? Now we send it back and maybe it'll come back up and maybe it won't. Does everybody understand that? Because that does happen sometimes. You know, it's not like they can give us a proposal and we can just keep fiddling around with it and be like, poof. Everybody agrees. Go ahead, Ernest.
So a good guy in fellowship development is when we're in it, when we're not in agreeance like this, and Patrick says, hey, you know what? We should talk about this all the time. And Belinda says, hey, we should use a PowerPoint. Nellie, I know that you were trying to state why you didn't think we should go that far or go further. I would say, hey, Patrick, what do we need to do to get you on board with or closer to just taking this to 4:15? What would your response be to that?
I mean, Why? My response would be, well, what? Why do you want to go to 415?
Because right now, currently, there are 10 members that believe we could accomplish this at 415, at that which is currently a majority. So if 10 members are on board and you're in disagreement with that, what can we do to meet in the middle? What can we do to help you come to a better decision? Let's say you offer, all right, let's go to 445 instead.
Yep.
So we will offer that to the other members and bring it down and do a test for consensus. Now, something that Ray talked about and you touched on as well is you guys will talk about it all night long. Okay. As a facilitator of consensus base, I'll loop this about 3 or 4 times. And if we can't come to a consensus, it's just too weak to adapt. Because we can't come to consensus. Because there are members that will stand their ground and they're not willing to bend. It's the Democrats and the Republicans, you know what I mean? So ultimately what happens is after a few loops around, that could be 3 times, that could be 4 times to do a test for consensus. If we're not getting any closer to our numbers, it's just too weak to adapt. And it goes bye-bye unless someone else has to bring another proposal to the floor.
Yeah, I mean, if there's 9 people for something and I'm the only one against, I'll often think that maybe I should look at why that is, you know? But sometimes you can break them. Going around in circles and people get tired and they give up.
I will have to state that in consensus base, consensus is not met when it's determined out of frustration. That's not consensus. And that's based on a good facilitator. A facilitator needs to gauge the spirit of the room. And when members are tired of talking about it, or they're looking at their clock, or you see them huffing, that is the responsibility of good facilitation to be able to gauge that. That's not consensus when it's met out of frustration.
Belinda?
What happens when, although I said I think that it could stop right now with PowerPoints, but I can be persuaded to say, well, I still don't like the idea, but I'm gonna go along with the idea. How does that factor into the total thing? How does that work?
If you're willing to bend to go a little further for Patrick.
No, if I'm willing to do 415, but still want to note it. That I'm not in agreement with y'all.
Yep.
And Linda, that would be an assent with a reservation.
And how does that work? Ray, Alan, how does that work?
But definitely, you're saying the assent with reservations that you do agree on it. First thing I would ask you, well, what is your concerns about this proposal? You know, so maybe we can have a better understanding with it, because you may have a reservation and someone else may have that reservation. And with your two combined together, we can come with a better decision. Right? Anything else?
Ryan, you got your hand up. Is this something about what Belinda was saying? Go ahead, Ryan.
No, it's something else. But if Belinda, if your question was answered, I can ask mine. But
was your question answered, Belinda?
Assent with reservation.
Yeah. Assent with reservation. You know, so Belinda's willing to let it pass. She has a couple concerns, but guess what? Assent with reservation is on this. It is a vote for the assent. You know, we address her concerns. We can't change her mind, but we address her concerns just so that way people in the room know, and we move forward. You know, because if we don't move forward, we're going to be here all day. And it sounds like that's what Patrick was talking about. It's like they go round and round and round thinking that the outcome's going to change, and at the end of the day, the outcome's still the same. Is that correct, Patrick?
Yep.
Go ahead, Ryan.
Okay, so I'm going to do like a pretend block here because I want to know how facilitators address things, and I want to see if this even makes any sense. Because one of my questions is, what if people who interpret the traditions differently or read them in a different way, like, how does that get handled? So, okay, my block is, you know, one of our fundamental spiritual principles is honesty. And when we put out this event, we said it would end at 4:15. So we're if we go past that, that's dishonest. And that's my block. So how would you address that? Does that even make sense? Is that a block?
Well, here, the first step, anytime we have a block, Ryan, the first step is to see how many of people out there agree with what you just said. We got 2 minutes?
No, I was seconding the block.
So basically what I have to do is, just like when they bring up a proposal, when a block comes up, I need to check the temperature of the room and see if anybody, once you articulate why you believe it's a certain way, it's one thing to say, hey, I block it. You're going to have a lot tougher time to get people on board. But what happens is you make that block and then you make a valid point and come with a step or a tradition or a concept why you believe that you should block it. What happens sometimes is in the room is now you gain some support. And now as a facilitator, my job to see is there anybody backing what you're saying? If you can't get anybody to back what you're saying, you know, you have all these people in the room and you're the only person that believes that way, you know, is there any support? That makes sense? You gotta have some, just like when we move forward with a proposal in favor, when we go the opposite direction, we gotta see if there's support as well too.
So does a block lead to like a vote? And if you get 80% people agreeing with it, then it's blocked? Like, is there actual protocol for that?
That is exactly right. It can't happen.
Okay.
You block it, and then we have to see who is in support of your block.
Okay, that makes sense. Thank you.
You're welcome. We got some more hands up. I think Julie, and then Julie, and then Andrew.
Go ahead. Did you call on Julie?
Julie's first.
Okay, I'm sorry. I couldn't see.
I just need some clarity. I might have misheard. Wasn't the proposal that we would end at 4:15?
Yes. Yeah.
So then how could that be a block? Because isn't that saying the same thing?
He was just trying to get an idea of how a block
just an example. And secondly, so I just wanted to make sure that I was clear there.
And Ryan, Belinda blocked a proposal, right, Ryan? You were just trying to give us an example. She's just trying to get a better understanding of what a block.
Right. Was. Okay. I've got that. Belinda, she said that she would finally agree with the proposal so that it could go forward. My understanding from what you said is that'd be a stand aside.
Well, no, she's ascending with reservation.
I know what she said. That she was ascending with reservation. But before she declared that, she stated that she was willing to let the proposal go forward so that, in the spirit of unity, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that a stand aside?
Stand aside is I'm willing to step aside and let the proposal pass, but I have some strong concerns about this proposal. I don't know if she was expressing strong concerns or she just had some.
I firmly still believe that we should end this meeting at 4:00, but I'll hang in here to 4:15.
Does that answer your question, Julie?
Then that feels like a stand aside to me. Is that correct?
It is. It's a stand aside.
It is a stand aside. I'm just trying to get some clarity.
Yeah, thank you. Aside.
So what's the difference, you guys?
The difference between assent and stand aside is assent is I have a couple more questions, but I'll let it pass. Stand aside is I'm willing to stand aside and let the proposal pass, but I have strong concerns about this proposal.
Right.
You know, but at the end of the day, as a facilitator, I don't determine whether she's an assent with a reservation or a stand aside. That's their call. You know what I mean? That's their call. You may feel that, hey, they're strongly opposed to it, but at the end of the day, whoever, when they hold, I can't call what they're doing. You know, that's not my job. They tell me what there is, we facilitate from there. Does that make sense? So just because
I was just basing it on her first statement, not her second statement. First statement would have been a stand aside. Secondly, I can see that it would be assent with reservation.
Okay.
At the end of the day, Julie, you are correct. It will be. I will decide that I'm deciding that I'm going to assent with reservations. At the end of the day, when it comes down to actually voting, I'm assenting with reservations.
Ernest?
Who was next? Troy?
Troy.
Yeah, my question is that we have some stand aside, there's some assent reservations. You asked the questions. Okay. Now we want to adjust the proposal to get these people on board. How many times do we rewrite this proposal before we get consensus? Once you rewrite the proposal, you've got a different proposal on the floor now.
What I'm saying?
If you're adding or taking away from a proposal, you've changed the whole proposal.
And what happens for something like that is that if they're going to change the proposal, we will ask them, can they take the proposal back, rewrite it? And if it's one time, if it's enough time and then for RSC, we would rewrite it again. But if they want to change a whole lot of things, we will ask them, is it okay if they can bring it back to the next RSC? So to go on.
Yeah, if there's a lot of change, you would have to wait till the next.
So we will wait for the next one, yes.
Hold on a second. Here's the thing. This is the difference between a motion and proposal. When the proposal hits the floor, nobody owns it but the body. So, I mean, we're kind of confusing a motion and a proposal. When the proposal hits the floor, we can modify that in any way we want. It's still the same proposal. We can modify it the way we want. That's what, you know, you guys, a motion, it always goes back to the maker. And they have to find it. In consensus-based decision-making, once a proposal hits the floor, you don't own it. The body owns it, and it's still the same proposal no matter how we reword it.
So you don't have to send it back to the maker of the proposal, have them rewrite it, reapply it back to the body, so we can manipulate that proposal to get the consensus we want.
Correct. So once that proposal hits the floor, they don't own it.
Okay.
The intent will never change. The proposal may change, but the intent.
Okay. That was my question.
And then I'm going to come to Ernest. Did that clear things up for you, Troy? Okay. Yeah, just you got to understand one thing in consensus base. Once that proposal hits the floor, you can't take it back. The body owns that proposal now. Andrew, go ahead.
Andrew Attic. What I was thinking when Belinda originally shared her thoughts, it sounded like a stand aside to me too. That's not really what I'm talking about though. As far as Ryan's faux proposal, say I agreed with his principle. You know, in honesty, it would be best if we stopped when he said we were going to stop. You know, go until we said we were going to go. But at the same time, you know, what if I thought there was other reasons to do things differently and that wasn't enough to sway me? Should I just keep, I don't know. Should I change what I was doing based on that or what? I don't really know.
Well, here's the thing. In consensus based, when we get more information, we have the ability to change our vote. It's not because I voted assent. Sometimes they give us more information on the floor, and sometimes that vote can change. Just like somebody might have been stand aside in the beginning, we modify that proposal, and then now we go from stand aside to assent or assent with reservation. Is that what you're asking, Andrew? Can you change your mind on the floor?
Yeah, well, I mean, I suppose, with a block, wouldn't you modify the proposal in order to accommodate that block and then come up with a new, check again, basically?
Well, once we get a block, as long as we get support for the block, you know, that proposal is dead. If you block a proposal, and you have support for the block, that proposal dies on the floor. If you have support for the block, but if you have no support for the block, then we go on forward with the proposal. As Ernest, did you have a question as well? I know we're down to our last couple minutes. I know we got to kind of hurry.
It wasn't a question, it was a statement, but I'm okay with
remaining. But what I'm going to do is in the chat, I can put our information, I can put my cell phone number, and anybody wants to contact me outside of here, they're more than welcome to. If you have more questions, it's just unfortunately due to the time restraint, we're kind of limited on time here. But I appreciate the participation. It's a lot of good questions. It's, you know, one thing I learned about consensus-based decision making, it's not something that I learned overnight. You know, it took practice and over, but you know, the more we do it, it's like anything, the better we get.
You sent that to just me, by the way.
The better I get. What's that?
You sent that to just me. You want to send that to everyone.
Oh, my bad. Sorry about that, Ezra.
How much support does a block have to have? 80%?
I'm sorry?
20%. How much support does a block have to kill the proposal? 80%?
My internet's going in and out. Ernest, can you answer that?
All a block is required is 20%. If 20% of the voting body is for all intent and purpose opposed to it, it blocks it.
Okay, thank you.
Well, listen, guys, we're down to our last couple minutes. I put my number in the chat, so if you guys want to contact me outside of here, you're more than willing to. We appreciate everybody's open input, questions. You know, so like I said, if you guys have any questions, please reach out to us. You know, that's what we're there for. You know.
If it's okay, I'll make myself available as well, because there's several questions in the chat.
Did you mean to say you only need 20% for a block to pass? That seems counterintuitive.
Not for a block to pass, for a block to prevent a proposal from moving forward.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Only 20% have to agree with the block to kill a proposal?
That's correct.
Okay.
It's good to know.
Ryan, can you put your email in the chat for me again, please?
Ernest, are you putting your email?
Your number, Ernest.
I'll put my email in there too. My Florida.
If you guys could prevent email. My number from going on any bathroom walls, that would be great.
Put my NA Florida email in the chat. So if you guys want to contact me through cell or email, it's fine.
Who has experience with an area that is Robert's rules, but goes to the region? Ernest, I'm going to call you. Are you our Florida chair, regional chair?
No, that's Ray. I'm the FD leader.
Oh, okay. Ray, that's you're me. Our chair for Florida region. Okay.
Yes. I'm Saturday, Ray Sunday.
Okay.
Yes. Sorry about And you guys are welcome to join us on Zoom on Sunday if you guys want. Like I said, sorry about all the Wi-Fi issues I was having. Wish we could have had a little bit better presentation for you, but we appreciate you guys being here.
Yeah, it was good. I really enjoyed it.
You guys are more than welcome to join us any business Sunday for the Florida region. You guys can join us. You just won't have a voice on the floor unless it's open sharing.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to see what's going on, come see.
That's Sunday at 9 a.m., the regional?
Correct. Sunday at 9 a.m. And the link is on the website, naflorida.org.
Or do you want to contact me? Could you wait until 5 o'clock, please?
I think you came to one of our meetings, Ernest, in Tampa.
I come to quite a few meetings in Tampa. I'm just across the bridge from you, Julie.
And I said to you, are you Ernest? And you said no. Do you remember that?
That was you, wasn't it?